Turn your Bibles, please, to John chapter 12. We'll be there in just a minute. John chapter 12. I want to take a quick look at a really familiar story. As we focus our attention on getting connected with the needy. Now, I'm operating on the basis of the assumption that you remember all of the things that we've gotten connected with this year. There have been 11 of them so far. And we started out in January with getting connected with our church family. In February, we talked about getting connected with our youth. March, it was the senior saints that we talked about getting better connected with. In April, God the Father. In the month of May, we talked about getting connected with the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the next month, in June, we talked about strengthening our connection with God's Holy Spirit. July, strengthening our connections with the eldership. August, getting connected with the church's work. September, we talked about getting connected in worship. And we made a real distinction there, or not a distinction, but we gave some emphasis on the fact that we need to get connected in in worship as we come together and worship as God's people. And of course, last month in October, we talked about getting connected with our mission works. And if you've really been carefully following that list, you know that I have made a mistake here in November. Anybody catch that? Okay, we've got one or two that caught the fact that I got the last 2 months of the year switched up. No, I know this is not December. This is November. That's not what I had a problem with. What I had a problem with was in November, we were supposed to talk about getting connected with the grieving. And then in December, we would talk about getting connected with the needy. You know when I discovered that mess up? About an hour and a half ago. Last week, I printed in the bulletin, for the month of November, we're going to talk about getting connected to the needy. There's where it started. There's where I got off. And once I printed that in the bulletin, I never looked at it again, never thought about the fact that I had taken December's theme and put it on November. And so, hey, no big deal. I'm the one that made out the list, and so I reserve the right, even though it goes without saying, I reserve the right to get a couple of months switched up. And so in December, we will talk about the fact that it is our vision. That's what this has all been about, our vision for 2023. In December, our vision for 2023 will reflect our need to get better connected with those who are grieving. And now, in November, we're going to talk about strengthening our connections with the needy, those who are needy. Now, are you there at John chapter 12? 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served. Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at table. Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of this perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, (parenthesis) explanation from the writer going into a little bit more detail, he who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief, and having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Then Jesus said, "Let her alone, that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me." Before I forget, let me call your attention to a very sad fact about those who are impoverished. One of the really sad things about the poor is that they are often used by unscrupulous men, leaders, politicians, to pluck at the heartstrings of others and use them and their plight as a tool to justify things that often benefit their pockets. Judas, here on this occasion, is the absolute perfect liberal politician who expresses his concern for the poor, but he really doesn't care anything about the poor. He's looking for a way to put more money in his pocket. Isn't that one of the sad things about the plight of the poor and the unfortunate? The needy. Let's get some definitions going here. Needy could be defined as those who are in poverty, those who are victims of tragic circumstances, those who have been mistreated, those who are abused, those who are neglected, and we could go on and on. The needy. Let's broaden our understanding just a little bit. Let's define poverty. Poverty is a state of deprivation in which people lack access to resources and basic necessities needed to live a healthy and dignified life. Now, you got to admit that that definition in itself is full of things that could just go in any direction in the world. Deprivation in which people lack access to resources. Why do they lack the access? Why do they not have the access? Do they not have the access because someone is keeping them from it or keeping the resources from them? Or do they not have access to the resources because they don't know any better? Do they not have access to the resources because someone else has beaten them to it or to them? One other, let's add to this, the poor. Those who do not have enough money for basic needs, food, clothing, and shelter. Now, I want to tell you, I have never been poor. I have never been in poverty. I have never been in need in any significant way. God has blessed me with soundness of mind and body and ample opportunities to work and earn a living and support my loved ones and take care of those things that are within my responsibilities. And He has also helped me to develop a grateful spirit for all of the things that He has given me so that I have never in my life been tempted to feel sorry for myself because of something that has happened to me or because some circumstances didn't turn out the way that I wanted them to turn out. Let me take that a step further. I think I could truthfully say that we are not in an area that is burdened down with deep poverty. Now, let me quickly say, that doesn't mean there aren't any poor people around. That doesn't mean that there is not poverty within our reach and within our vision. But generally speaking, by and large, this area where you and I live right now, where we call home, this is not really a deeply impoverished place. There are some places that could be described that way within our country, within our nation. There are places where people live at such high concentrations and at such low income levels that there just isn't enough to go around. There aren't enough resources. There's not enough work. There are not enough of the basics to supply all of the needs. And somebody says, well, why don't they spread out? Well, that's a good question, but, you know, that's an individual thing. But the fact is, you and I are so well blessed right here in central Alabama. But then again, this discussion is not about how to handle our poverty. This discussion is about how we should try to help those who are impoverished. And so we want to look at it from that direction. Now, as I have already alluded to, poverty can be a very emotionally driven subject. Poverty is often used in pictures and advertisements, and particularly political positions, statements, and so forth. Poverty numbers are manipulated just as much as most any other statistic is ever manipulated. I've been in some places that were really impoverished. When we think about poverty and people who are really in need, people who are destitute, one of the aspects of it that tugs the most strongly at our heartstrings are those that involve children. Young people, and especially small children who have no means of taking care of themselves. And you've heard the stories, and I have too. I've seen the literal cases where little bitty fellas have on their own devised a scheme for survival. And it would just make you weep to hear those stories of those little children who have had to fend for themselves because of living in circumstances of abject poverty. I've been in places in Mexico, invited into the homes of brethren who would insist that I sit down and eat at their table, and they would feed me the food that they had allotted for the next couple of days, simply because they wanted to show their love. We lived in West Africa for a couple of years, and even though it was a relatively good place, there were many, many pictures of poverty. Probably the biggest definition or demonstration, I should say, the biggest demonstration that most of us see of the subject of poverty, even though I'm here to tell you, and I'll elaborate on this a little bit, that it's false advertisement. You see them every day if you ride up and down the road and go through the intersections of our city. Yes, you read his sign, didn't you? Wife and dog kidnapped by ninjas. I need money for kung fu lessons. I really want to get that dog back. I'm here to tell you I came across some really eye-opening pictures and signs. Everything from need money for weed to let's be honest, I need a beer. In 2008, a survey was conducted, or a study was engaged in, the results of which were really eye-opening on the subject of panhandlers that were at that time becoming more and more common in our towns and cities. One of the things that was discovered that we know today is very, very true is that of all of those folks who claim to be homeless and in need, far less than 20% of them are actually really homeless. And many of that number are that way because they choose to be. Now, that's not to say that they don't have some legitimate needs, and that's not to say that they've got a place down the road they could move into and be comfortable just like we are, you know. That's not to say that that's the case, but it is a fact that so many of those people you see out there on the side of the road with their little signs looking very sad and pitiful and needy, many of them do. Some of them look like they're in pretty good shape. Some of them look like the guy on the lower left there who looks like he just walked out of a place that outfitted him with some really well-fitting clothes. And obviously he's got a razor and a barber and a good pair of walking shoes because he probably really needs them. I could take you literally to some homeless camps within the city of Montgomery. The nature of the work that I do every day puts me in contact with some of those places, or at least those places intrude upon some of the areas where I work. And you might be amazed at all of the refuse and trash and garbage that is left behind that tells a very interesting story about people who have chosen to live that way. Listen, let me be clear. I'm not saying that every single one of those people out there who want you to roll the window down and hand them a $10 bill, I'm not saying that every single one of them is a crook and a thief. But I'm saying it is fast becoming a very highly developed skill and art. And there are probably very few of us who have not been accosted in a Walmart parking lot by someone who claims that they're on the way to Dothan to attend their mother's funeral and they've run out of gas or their vehicle is broken down and they desperately need a few bucks to fill the gas tank or get a tire fixed or whatever. And surely many of you are admittedly very skeptical like I am, because when you've said, well, I've got a 5-gallon gas can in the back of the truck, get in here with me and let's go find a gas station and we'll go buy you 5 gallons of gas and come and pour it in your car. That's okay. I've got somebody else coming and I don't need to leave here. I'm going to stay here with the car. You go get the gas and come back. I came back without the gas because I knew he wasn't going to be there when I got back. And no, he wasn't there. I'm sorry. I'm admittedly skeptical. You say, well, David, you know, as a Christian, you're very possibly weeding out a lot of people who've got some legitimate needs. And, you know, I suppose that may be true. But I tend to take the approach of being as responsible as I can with the assets and the resources that God has blessed me with. And when I find someone with a legitimate need, you can ask anybody, I don't slow down. without giving them something that'll help. And so when we talk about getting connected with the needy, are we talking about giving more money away to people standing on the side of the road? No, that's not what we're talking about. That's not at all what we're here to discuss. If I've got things figured right, I've got one more slide that we've got time to cover, and then I'm going to fast forward through the next couple of slides in order to get to the end, and we'll save the rest of that material for the next installment of this, because this has taken a little bit longer than I thought it would thus far. You can thank me on the way out the door tonight and say, thank you for not preaching an hour's sermon tonight. Here's a good question. Why are there poor people? Why are there needy people in the world? These are only a few of the many answers that are real answers to that question. Some of them are poor by choice. As badly as it grates against my own manner of living, there are literally some people who do not want to be anything but poor. There are some people in this world who have no other desire than to be supported and furthered along by your hard work and my efforts. There always have been those in the world. There always will be. Some people are poor by choice. There are some people who are poor because of calamity. Let's change that word poor to needy. Now, I understand, I realize that the word needy has become a popular term now to describe someone who maybe worries too much or bugs their friends too much about things. And so we say, boy, you sure are needy today. What's wrong with you? That's not what we're talking about when we talk about needy. We're talking about needing legitimate needs for the basics. It would be a very, very big task. I'm not sure the records are even kept that closely. To go back through the records of the last 10 years of this congregation and make a list of all of the situations of calamity where this church individually and collectively have come together to help and render resources and assistance to people who are victims of calamity, whether it's floods or tornadoes or hurricanes or fire or you name it. The list goes on and on. That's part of what we do. That's part of what God wants us to do. There are some who are poor and needy because of sin and laziness. There are those who don't want to work. And you recall God's position on that problem, don't you? He that will not work, neither let him eat, Paul told the Thessalonians. There are some who are in constant need because of their sin of, and you fill in the blanks. There is substance abuse, there is selfishness, there is irresponsibility, misuse, there are dependence on things like gambling. That's a real issue here in our part of the country. There are some folks who are now needy and living in poverty because of the casino up the road or the one down the road that way, or sin and laziness have contributed to the neediness of a lot of people. You say, well, David, what are we supposed to do? We're just going to write them off and say, too bad, chum. You shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have gotten involved in that. No, that's not not how Jesus would approach it. But we don't help them solve their problem by feeding the problem. And that's often what we do when we roll the window down and stick a five out the window to the guy standing in the intersection and says he needs money because his dog's been kidnapped by ninjas. We need to be thoughtful. We need to be careful about how we use the resources that God has blessed us with. God gives us what He gives us for the purpose of honoring and glorifying Him and His works. And one of the things, one of the ways that we glorify God is in helping others and helping those who are in need. But God wants us to be careful with those resources and use them responsibly. The term vetted is often used today to mean checking something out. Several among our men here in this congregation have helped and assisted Daniel and others in vetting many of the requests that we get for assistance and help and aid. I'm here to tell you that is a very valuable service. That is a very important thing to do. Again, you might be surprised. In fact, some of you would be amazed at some of the things that come to light when you start looking into a situation where somebody has a sad story. Not every sad story is false, but some of them are. And so we need to be careful. And I hope I'm not coming across as a stingy, ultra-tightwad when it comes to helping people. Because I don't think I am. But those who are impoverished because of sin and laziness will never find a solution to their problems with more money. They need help in other ways. And you know what? Some of that kind of help is a whole lot harder to give than just a $20 bill. In fact, throwing money at a problem like that is often the best way to salve your conscience and be on your way. Maybe that's part of what we need to talk more about in our connecting with the needy, is the willingness to get involved in really solving the problem rather than just smoothing it over and moving on. And then some people are in need, impoverished, poor, because of oppression. I'm thankful to say that there's very little oppression in our nation. Somebody says, well, you've never dealt with the IRS on the right level. Oh, yes, I understand. I'm not saying that it's all gone, but I'm saying that by and large, for the most part, there's not a whole lot of oppression going on in our nation by those who are rich, those who are powerful. That was one of the biggest problems in Old Testament Israel among God's people when the kingdom was strong. One of the things that God told them over and over and over, your judges, your decision makers are corrupt and you are neglecting the poor and the needy. But there are places in this world where that is a very, very real thing. War. We've been inundated with information about the conflict that continues on between Israel and Hamas in Gaza. Something that we admittedly probably don't know nearly enough about to really have some good, strong feelings and opinions? Because I can assure you there's far more to it than meets the eye. And there is far more to the conflict between the Russians and the Ukrainians. There's a lot more to that than meets the eye. But the bottom line is there are a lot of people who are impoverished and oppressed, not impressed, but oppressed, because of the continuing of that war. Wars are not won by Christians. Earthly, physical warfare. For our warfare, our enemy, our fight is in the spiritual realm against sin and unrighteousness. But there are ways that we need to look into and be more familiar with that will help us to deal with and assist those who are poor because of conflict in the world. Now, next time we talk about this, we'll go through this list of scriptures that tell about God's interest in the poor. But we'll reserve that for next Sunday evening, Lord willing, as we talk further about the need to get connected with the needy. Are you a child of God? Have you obeyed the gospel? Have you done what the New Testament says that a person has to do in order to obtain salvation? If you haven't done that, let me help you make sure that you understand what needs to be done. You must believe in Jesus as God's Son. You must repent and turn away from sin. You must be willing to confess Jesus Christ before men as your Lord and Master, surrendering your life to Him. And you must be willing to be baptized, because only in baptism do we come in contact with the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. And so if you've not done that, we'd love more than anything to help you accomplish that tonight. If you have done that but have become unfaithful in your service to God, everybody from God on down would love to see you get things straightened out and rejoice with you for being restored. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you to respond as we stand together and sing this song.